Sunday that we dealt with was fighting God. Amen. Stop fighting God. And as I said on Sunday, there were so many more scriptures, but for the sake of time, we could not get into them. But tonight, we're going to further our study. Amen. More of a Bible study of the bad habit of how we can be forced inadvertently into fighting against God and not even realize it. How can God have been so good to us, and been such a way maker, been a healer, a deliverer, and then we in turn around and fight against God? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to read tonight, we're going to go to Job, back to Job chapter 33. And we're going to read verses 8 through, I don't want to read all of them now, we'll go over more. We'll read verses 8 through 18 of Job 33. Amen. And we'll explain that and delve a little more into that as we go along. Amen. How can the very God that saved our souls, delivered us, and set us free, how can we be deceived into fighting against God and not even realize it? That's a dangerous position, amen. Verse 8 reads, eventually, amen, if you have your Bibles, we'll start off with my Bibles and then we'll get to the screen. Amen. Verse 8 reads, surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he's speaking about God. Amen. You know that you're going the wrong direction when you start thinking like this. He said, behold, he findeth occasion. You mean the very God that died for our souls. Amen. They gave all. The thing about God, he didn't give a little, he gave all. How can an individual who God proclaimed in the beginning of the book that he was perfect, upright, eschewed evil, and there was none like him in all the earth, how does he have this change of mind? The one that in the beginning, the Bible said he fell down and blessed God. Amen. Blessed God, and he even said that, shall we not receive good at the hand of God and not evil? What happened? What transpired? What did this cause him to change his focus or his spiritual perspective about God? When he says that, he says, he finds occasion against me, he counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketeth all, not some of my path. Now, does that sound like the God we serve? God's going to mark all of his paths and put his feet in the stocks. Behold, in this, Elijah said, thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is, can we say God is greater? Come on, God is greater than man. Why are you fighting God? Hallelujah. Job, what went from you being a worshiper to a contender with God? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea, twice. Yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumbering upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride far from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
It's blessed.
Blessed.
Already. And you may have a seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. How does someone go from being a worshiper and blessing the name of the Lord to fighting God?
Jesus.
Amen. What events transpired in the life of Job. Now, Job, God, nobody else said this about Job, but who said it?
God
said it. In the first chapter, we're not going to go there. In the first chapter of Job, God tells Satan to, have you considered
my servant,
Job, that there is none like him in
all the
earth. What kind of praise is that? Coming from who?
God.
There is no one like Job in all the earth. He is a perfect man. He feareth God. He escheweth evil, and he keep holdeth fast his integrity. Who is this? Job. God, I wish you could say that about me. There's nobody else in the whole earth like me. And the Bible said, as Job began to handle one difficulty or one trial after another, that he still blessed the Lord.
Amen.
Even after he had all of the funerals, he went from being the richest man to the poorest man. After he had all of this devastation, tragedies, and calamities, the Bible said he worshiped God. What a mighty testimony. Lord, I wish you could say that about me. Hallelujah. Through all of my difficulties, through all of my trials, I still worship. But how many know the devil has designed to have every last one of us? That he may sift us as wheat. And as the Lord said about Peter, he said, but I prayed for you. I don't want to fight against somebody that's praying for me. Amen. I want to be on their side. He said, even though you're going to go through one of the worst trials of your life, Peter, I have prayed that your faith faileth not. Amen. How many know that we're all in faith school tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Faith school of higher learning about trust. We're all in faith school. Amen. We're learning to trust God. Not just regular learning, but every round goes higher and higher. Amen. The challenges that you have yesterday will be a little higher today. Amen. Because God is perfecting us. Because the path of the
Just.
Is as a every day we have to shine more and more unto the
perfect day.
So we're in faith school of higher trust. Amen. The trust that you had in kindergarten salvation, that don't do anymore. Amen. And then when you pass that trust in kindergarten salvation, God moved you up to first grade salvation. But how many know that if you've been saved for any period of time, you got to get out of the elementary school. Amen. This time to move up to junior high. And then after you get out of the junior high salvation, you got to get up into high school. Amen. Paul says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let the church go on to
perfection.
God is trying to move us to perfection. So we're in school of faith, and God is moving us towards perfection. Amen. But Job, amen. God said, nobody like him in all the earth. But you know what the devil told them, just like us? You know, the devil said, you know what? I'm going to hit you where it hurts the most. He said, skin for skin is all that a man has. He said, you let me touch his body, and he said, he will do what? Curse you to your face. Amen. The devil's desire in all of our trials, all of our circumstances, all of our tests, he wants us to do what? Well, why does he want us to curse God? Because he's a living curse. He's a disembodied spirit. Amen. So the devil wants us to partake in his sufferings. So his desire is to get us to curse God. Well, the devil wanted so bad to break Job down and get him to curse God that he even got into his wife and said, why don't you? I ain't gonna be like some little minister say, you gotta watch the wives. You gotta watch everybody. Amen. You know, somebody say, you gotta watch anything that the devil can use. Amen. You gotta watch anything that the devil can use. She said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, now this is when you gotta have the right mind. He said, you sound foolish. You don't sound foolish, mean you're lacking understanding and you lack reverence for God. How we know that? Because the Bible says in, I believe it's Psalm 14 and Psalms 54 or 53, the fool has said in, there is no God. That's a lack of reverence for God. Amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The scriptures say he's corrupt. His words are abominable, and there is no good thing in him. If you know anybody like that, when they come in, you go out. If they go right, you go left. Because you don't need that. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the wife is trying to get Job to curse God to his face and die. He says, shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And what?
Not evil.
Amen. The Bible says in all this, Job did not sin, neither did he charge God
foolishly.
But can we say sustained trials? Prolonged trials has a way of working on your emotions. Amen. Sustained trials, prolonged trials. You say, I thought this trial would have been over by now. They have a way of working on your emotions to break you down spiritually. And then when you get broken down spiritually, the very God that's protecting you, you will bring an indictment against him, as we learned on Sunday in Micah. Amen. God was the judge in the courtroom, and he was also the attorney. The judge and the attorney. Fighting to set every last one of us free spiritually. But yet he told them, testify against me. What fault tonight can we find in God? That's what he means when he says, testify against me. Tell me, what have I done wrong? But let's get back to Job. How does a person go from so diametrically from one end to the other? How do you go from being with God, blessing and honoring God, to now you are contending with God? How does that happen? What happened? Had God changed? Absolutely not. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is what?
Same
yesterday, today, and forever. He said, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, because the Lord does not change. He is consistent. So what changed? It wasn't God. Amen. But those difficult trials, when you at your low points, have a way of making you see things in the reverse.
Yes.
Instead of you seeing God is fighting for you, your mind is so influenced negatively by the adversary that you think God is fighting against you. Job says here in the 33rd chapter again, in verse 10, he says, behold, he findeth occasion against me, he counted me as his. What are we talking about? Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't ever allow yourselves to get in that state of being where you think God is your enemy. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. How do we go from God doing all of that to now we're his enemy? You know that it's not God. It has to be the fight or the battle is where?
In
the mind. So because of Job's difficulties, his child, his challenges, he's not seeing God for who God is. But he's seeing God according to his intellect or his own understanding. Say, he putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my path. He says, behold in this, thou art not, you're not right. Amen. Please, brothers and sisters, let's not ever get to the point where we become unjust at seeing God. He said, I will answer thee that God is When you allow your trial to get the best of you, you think that you are up here and God is down here. How did Job go from being perfect, fearing God and eschewing evil, to being greater than God? That's something to really consider. How? What happened? Your trials, when they are prolonged and sustained, if you don't stay in God like you ought to stay in God, if you don't stay in prayer like you ought to stay in prayer, if you don't stay in the Word like you ought to stay in the Word, then you will have another influence. As great as Job was, amen, he is now think he is greater than God? Amen. Greater than God. He said, why are you fighting against God? Amen. For you give not account of any of his matters. Amen. And the verse 17 said, the problem is not God. The problem is God is allowing you, Job, now that the real you is coming out. Amen. How many know when you go through something, the real you comes out?
That's right.
You look at somebody and say, whoa. It's bad there. Whoa. I didn't know you were like that. Those trials can ring out the whoas. Amen. You say, hey, brothers and sisters, wow, I see another side of you that I didn't think could exist. Because of what? The trial would bring out the woe in you. He said that he may withdraw man from his
purpose.
And the real issue at hand is that he wants to hide
pride from man.
What does Solomon say about pride? Pride goeth before. When you get caught up in pride, you're heading for and a haughty spirit
for
a fall. Pride goeth before. If you find anybody that's wrapped up in pride, amen, eventually it's going to come out. Just like it did with Job. Someone that God bragged on in the beginning. The one of the scriptures said, the race is not to the
swift,
neither the battle, but unto him that endureth until the end. Now, that endureth to the end, that really ain't in there. They've been adding that. That ain't in there. That's in Matthew. But it's fitting. But that's not what the scripture says. It said, it said, but time and chance happened to them all. That's what it ends like. But just for the sake of using the scripture, amen, we'll say that to him that endures to the end. But that's not how it really reads, amen? So if I got some theologians out there listening to me by chance, I don't want them to write me no letter to correct me. But we're just going to make it fit because it will fit. Because you do have to endure to the end. Because Jesus said, if you don't endure to the end, you will not be saved. Amen. But the race is not to the swift, neither to battle to the strong, neither bread to him that is wise. Amen. But time and chance happened to them all, is what he said. But the issue that we're dealing with now is pride. Pride won't let you humble yourself. Amen. A proud person will know their wrong and won't listen. Amen? Y'all gonna leave me tonight, are y'all?
No, sir.
Y'all gonna leave me by myself? Amen. Pride will not let you surrender your will and submit to God. Solomon says, a wise man, listen, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. This is what a wise man would do. He said, you know what? What you're saying is right. So I'm going to listen and increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. There's a whole lot of counsel, but it ain't all wise. But a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. But he said, speak not thou to a fool, a person that has no reverence for God, the person that is so full of pride that they refuse to change. He said, don't speak to them because they despise the words of wisdom. You have to be careful. Say, oh, y'all been reading Proverbs, so y'all should be with me, right?
Amen.
Amen. We're up to chapter 1 now because we're going into a new month. Amen. So Sunday we're going to put a lot of people on the spot. I'm going to have you just quote 10 chapters out of 10 verses out of Proverbs. So y'all can do a rest of y'all. Y'all got from now to Sunday. Amen. Now to Sunday, but a fool. Amen. You know what's resemblance of a fool? A fool just will not listen. You know, you ever tell people, say, how many times do I have to tell you the same thing? They're not wise. Because a wise man will what? Hear and will increase learning. In other words, wisdom will be justified of his children. When you hear and act in wisdom, you don't act like you used to act. And when you hear and act like you used to act, that's pride. That's an individual that's fighting against God. Now let's go to Job chapter 40. All right, the 40th chapter of Job. The reason God wants to hide pride from man because his pride, when you got pride, you're heading for destruction. And it said pride will keep back his soul from destruction. Pride will keep back. The reason that God revealed the pride in Job, once again in the 18th verse, he keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. But Job 40, verse 1. Now, Job has been dealing with his friend, and then all the way up to chapter 36, he's dealing with, from 32 to 36, he's dealing with Elihu, who represents a man of God in the stand of God. But nobody could reach Job, because Job was too full of pride. Though they were, now his friends dealt with him a little differently, but Elihu was in the stead of God. The Bible says Elihu was the daysman who was interceding between God and Job. But even Elihu could not reach Job because of his pride. Amen. Pride is destructive. Pride is destructive. Amen. So from verse 30 to chapter 37 all the way up to chapter 40, God is speaking. That's a whole lot of time for God to have to deal with the individual. But from 37 all the way up to, it took God from chapter 37 to 42 to finally get Job to get it. That's a challenge. That's when you are full of pride. Verse 1 of chapter 40 reads, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that, he's still what? Fighting God. Amen. 33, you would thought Elihu got his attention, but not yet. Seven chapters later, Job is still? Well, what's the issue? Pride. Amen. You meet a person full of pride, just leave him alone. And leave him in God's hand. Job's three friends, though they did not use the right wisdom, couldn't reach Job, and neither could the man of God, Elihu, reach Job. It got so bad that even God had to show up on the scene.
Yeah.
Amen. God himself to try and break the pride that was in Job and get Job to stop fighting him. He says, shall he that contended with the Almighty now?
Instruction.
You know, it's bad when you think you got to tell God what to do. You going to instruct God? He that correct God too? He said, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am bound. Took all this long. But you know what? He still wasn't finished. He said, well, Job is finally saying what he is. He's not finished. Amen. He says, I am vile, and what shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Job said, once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, that's a whole lot of that wind going to go with that whirlwind. You know, whenever you see the wind, right, when the Holy Ghost came, there was a what? Wind, right? When Jesus told his disciples to receive the Holy Ghost, he what? Breathed on them as a what? Wind. The first man became a living soul queen. That's enough. I ain't giving you no more. That's a teaser. Yes, yeah, y'all can figure that out, right? Amen. But it came in a whirlwind and said, gird up now thy loins like a man. I will. You've been so Matthew with everybody else, God said, now I'm going to demand of thee and declare thou unto me. He said, would thou disannul you count my judgments as nothing? You fight against me, and now you said my judgment is nothing? He said, will thou
condemn me?
This is what pride will do to an individual. Will thou condemn me that thou might be? Who are we talking about?
God.
One that feared God, eschewed the evil. There's none like him in all the earth. Hardships, trials, emotional loads will cause you to be just like this. Will cause you to fight against God. That's dangerous. That's a terrible position. Will thou condemn me, he said, that thou might be
righteous.
Not before God. How are you going to do that? Amen. He said, has thou an arm like God, or canst thou? Keep going to the next verse. He says, deck thyself. Now, from here all the way to 42, God is still trying to reason with Job. Why? Because Job is fighting God because of his pride. Amen. We have to see our trials just for what they are. Stepping stones to get us closer to God. The minute you start seeing your trials as unfairness and you questioning God, that is a very, very dangerous position. The minute you start asking God why, wrong direction. Amen. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, we'll start off in verse 5. When you start questioning and asking God why, you're telling God, God, you are unfair. You're treating me wrong. You're not righteous. Actually, before we go to Isaiah 45, let's go to Romans chapter 9. All right. Sometimes we feel as though God is unrighteous. God is unfair. You ask God, why are you permitting me to go through this? Amen. So let's go to Romans chapter 9. We're going to start off with verse 11 of Romans chapter 9. Amen. What we're trying to do is to show the characteristics of an individual that is doing what? Fighting against God. And the final result to face, unless God can get their attention, you are wasting
your time.
So when an individual is so wrapped up in themselves, the best thing you can do is pray and say, Lord, you got to get this one. This is too big for me. Amen. Verse 11, this is talking about Jacob and Esau. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done
any good report.
Now let's follow the course of the scripture. Now, they were not yet born, so they had not done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election
might stand.
God has a counsel and a purpose.
Right.
And we don't always understand it. But how many of you trust God enough to say, God, just have your own way?
Yes.
So the children were not yet born. He had done nothing yet. But God had an election and a counsel that was going to stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. And we know who does the calling. God. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Well, why? Because that's what God says. So, can we say, well, you know, it's sort of like when Jacob was blessing, and Jacob was blessing the younger, and then they switched hands.
Yeah.
So, whoa, what are you doing? You know why? Because God was in that.
Right.
So they tried to take the hand and reverse it. He said, because I know what God has said. This was Jacob and Esau. Amen. So he crossed the arms because the right hand was supposed to be on the child of blessing.
Right.
And the greater. But how many know when God is involved?
Yes.
He does it his way. So since God's going to do it his way, the best thing that we can do is surrender. Amen. Don't fight it. Amen. They could have been pulling and broke Jacob, Isaac's arm, trying to do all that. He said, no, I know what God is doing. Amen. No, Jacob was written. As it is written, I have loved. No, that's when Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. That's when it was. Ephraim and Manasseh, he crossed his arm, and Joseph got upset. He said, whoa, not so, my father, that's not how it's supposed to be. He said, step back, son, this is God involved. You can't change what God has purposed. Another case where the younger ruled over the elder, amen? As it was written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, don't get carnal, he's not talking about that kind of hated. This means to prefer above. Amen. So it means that God preferred Jacob above Esau. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted with the enemy. So he did not hate him in that sense. It means to prefer above. Amen. He said, what shall we say then? Is there
unrighteousness with God?
Is there unrighteousness?
Certainly not.
Amen. Because we can't understand the workings of God. We think that God is unrighteous. Well, God, you're not fair because the older is supposed to be greater than the younger. God does what he wants to do in his way. So the best thing that we can do is surrender and not fight against God. Is there unrighteousness in God? Absolutely not. Amen? For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. In other words, you cannot presuppose your will over God. You can't determine that I want it this way and this is the way it's going to be. Absolutely not. Oh, wait, go back. You trying to hurt me down there? No, next one. Go to 16. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God can do whatever he wants to do. However he wants to do it, whenever he wants to do it. Amen. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my God, thank you for the name.
Amen.
From the beginning to the end, his name shall be declared through
all the earth.
Can we say all the earth?
All the earth.
Everything that God does is for his name to be magnified and to be glorified, not just in little Troy, but in
all
the earth. Amen. Therefore, have he mercy on whom he will have, and whom he will he harden. You know, you ever look around and say, God, how did you save me when there's so many other people so much better than me? But God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And God will save whom he will. Thou wilt say then unto me. Wait a minute, what are we talking about? We talking about God? Why doth he yet find fault? For who has this individual is doing what? Fighting against God. Why is God finding fault? I didn't resist his will. Why is he doing this to me? Amen. You can say why to everybody else, but don't why God. Amen. Leave that alone. Nay, little man, who art thou that? What are you doing? Amen. Let's check out our ways. Who are thou that replies against God? Shall the thing form? Say to him that shall the thing, Lord, I just surrender. I'm not going to fight you. You're too big. You're too mighty. You're too all-knowing for me to fight you. Shall the thing form, say to the thing that formed it, Why? Don't ever allow the devil to provoke you to questioning God. Don't allow the devil to provoke you into asking God why. Lord, why did you do this? And why did this happen? You know, that's pride. You're trying to tell God, I didn't deserve this. Amen. We deserve everything but God's mercy. God's mercy keep back just things that are due us. Has not the Father power over the clay to the same lot to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? We're trying to identify the characteristics and the traits of an individual that does not trust God, but they're what? Fighting God. Amen. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. How can you say to God, why hast thou made me thus? Amen. And is there unrighteousness in God?
No.
Is God unfair? Everything that we experience in our life, whether we brought it on ourselves or not, God will use that, amen, to turn it to his glory if we surrender. But as long as you're fighting God, your pride won't allow you to see what God is trying to show you. Remember he told Job, God speaketh once,
yea
twice, but man perceiveth it not. Why? Because he said he wanted to seal up his instruction to withdraw man from his own way. His purpose being what you planned and purpose to do. God is trying to withdraw you from your plans that he might hide pride from man. Pride will not permit you to perceive what God is trying to show you. In the dream, in the night, in the vision, God does all that, you still cannot perceive it. Why? Because of pride. Amen? Verse 5 reads, I am the Lord and there is
none else.
No matter how big you are, you still ain't the Lord.
Right.
You could be the big man on the block, big man in the church, big man everywhere. You still ain't the Lord. Can you say you ain't the Lord? I know that ain't grammatically correct, but we ain't trying to be correct. We're just trying to get the point across. So all you English teachers, y'all correct somebody else. Amen. You ain't the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. He said, I girded thee, though thou hast not
known.
Now he's talking about Cyrus and how God had prepared Cyrus to deliver his people out of Babylon, and Cyrus didn't even know him. This is how good a God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
That they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is
none.
There's no God like our God.
Amen.
There's nobody besides him. I am the Lord and there is
none.
God is trying to get the message across.
Amen.
He is the Lord and there is
none.
He said, I've fought now. He said, let me tell you some of my resume. Amen. You know, a lot of times we like to write a resume trying to get a better job. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you my resume. I can't get a better job, but I'm just going to tell you what I am. Amen. I form light and I create
darkness.
I make peace and I create
evil.
This evil doesn't mean evil. It means to have calamities and to have trials or tests, okay? I, the Lord, do
all these things.
I, the Lord, do. He's trying to show his omniscience, as omnipotence, who he is. Amen. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth, and let righteousness spring up together. He said, I, the Lord, created that too. Amen. God said, you know what? When you really think about it, I don't create it, I have created. Down south say, I don't know about none at all. But that ain't nothing south, so I'm gonna stay up here for y'all.
Right,
so I created it all, amen. Woe unto him that
right.
Hello?
Right.
He said, I want to show you all that to show you can't fight me. Amen. I created everything that you see, your breath, your life. God said, I did it all. Woe unto him that now is fighting with me. Amen. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Show them the clay, say to him that fashioned it. What? You know, he said, how many know that we're still clay on the potter's wheel? God is still shaping us. God is still molding us. And if you don't like the way we are, guess what? We are marred in his hands. And he'll take and make us all. But the pride of man, when he's fighting God, will question God about, why did you allow this? God, why didn't you change that? Don't fight God. Don't contend with God. God knows what he's doing. Isaiah said, having declared the end
from the beginning.
And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, said my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. You can't fight God. So the best thing you can do is say, I surrender all. Lord, I'm so tired of doing things my way and having things get worse. So it's about time to surrender. Amen. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Are thy works he hath? That's a bad position. God just told you everything he did, now you're going to try and put your little two cents in. Amen. Now, this ain't for y'all. This is for those people in the Bible. Because y'all don't do that, right? Amen. Woe to him that said to his. Wait a minute. Man, you just going. This is where you know you're just getting beside yourself. You're tired of messing with God, then you're going to go to your mother and your father. Lord have mercy. What's the first commandment of promise? Honor thy father and mother so that thy days will be long. They drilled that in us from the time we were little kids. That's why we never talk back. Never ever talk back. My parents' whole living life, I never talk back because I didn't want my days to be short. Somebody said, why people die so young? Because they don't have no honor anymore. They don't have reverence. They don't even respect their parents. Amen. If my father died recently, I would still say, yes, sir, no, sir. And when he made me mad, I only thought it. And he never knew it. You know why? Because we were taught from the time we were children, you're supposed to honor your mother and father so your days be long upon the earth. So when you get to be 30 and your parents are 50, they're no longer your parents. Is that right? Right? So I'm trying to figure out something. I'm watching these 30 and 40 year olds be disrespecting their parents. I said, wow. When did the parents stop being the parent? All right, I said, don't get nosy. I ain't getting nosy. I'm just trying to tell you what God expects. Amen. Your parents never stop being your parents. Got that time? No. Amen. Your parents never stop being your parents. So you're supposed to always honor them. And not only do you honor them, you don't let anybody else dishonor them. Amen. I don't care how close your friend is, theirs are still your parents. Don't you let them dishonor them. Amen. That's God's first commandment with promise. Amen. But now, when you get in caught up in pride, and you don't have reverence for God, you don't have reverence for your own parents either. You don't have reverence for your parents either. Woe to him that said to his father, you know what I'm saying? He said, why did you even bring me into this world? Remember Job? Job, I believe, is in the 7th chapter. He said, cursed be the day that was said that a bad child is born. Yeah. You know, you fight God then because you complaining about you being born. Amen? It's in there. I believe it. I don't know if it's Job 7th chapter or the 3rd chapter. One of them, he said, cursed be the day that was said that a man child is born. That, you know what that was? That's the same thing as this. Say to his father, why did you have me? That person is doing what? Fighting against God. They're allowing the trial of life to get the advantage of them. unto the woman, why has thou brought me forth? He said to your parents, you shouldn't have never had me. Thank God, not y'all have never said that. Thank you, Jesus. If you did, repent, don't do it again. Amen. Amen. Why did you even have me? Because it was God's plans. Because there's no one here that God never intended to be here.
Amen.
If you're here, it's because God planned for you to be here.
Yeah.
But when you get caught up in pride, you start questioning everything that's in authority. After you finish with God, you go to the mother and father. After you finish the mother and father, you go to everything around you. Why? Because you're in a bad way. And God is trying to help you see yourself. Amen? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and what is he? The Maker. You're not here because of anything but God. Ask me of the things to come concerning my son and concerning the works of my hand.
Amen.
Command ye me. God has the final authority. God rules to the end. Now, it's not important what any of us think or see, because the Bible says concerning God, God seeth not as what? Because we look at the outward appearance, but our God looks at our heart. When nobody else sees the issues, the challenges, the things that are taking place in your hearts, the ungodly thoughts, God sees it. And when God sees it, as he saw with Job, God, it had not yet, there are some things in our lives that have not yet manifested themselves. So what God will do is he will allow an arduous trial to come to help you see your, how do I know? Because it's happened to me a whole lot. I can't tell what happened to you, but I can tell you what happened to me. And then when you see that, you ever see that part of you, you say, whoa, what is that monster? Then you look in the mirror, and it's you. Amen. You know why? Because hard trials can bring out the worst of you. I don't care how holy and righteous you are. When you have some underlying issues, those trials will have that manifest itself. Now, the person that wants to be right, when they see that ugly side, will do something to try and correct it. Amen. In closing, let's go to Acts chapter 5. We close in Acts chapter 5. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm way ahead of time, so y'all even talk about me tonight. Amen. I'm ahead of schedule. Amen. We're dealing with not fighting God, and God revealing to us what we are. The characteristics of an individual to fight God is to question everything that God does in their life. Never satisfied, never content. Paul said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If we have food and raiment, we need to be content. Acts chapter 5, we'll start off with verse 14. Amen. We go through this really fast. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. This is after the apostles had performed one of those great miracles. Amen. How many know when God starts blessing, the devil likes to act up? Amen. When he bless, he likes to act up. Amen. So when you have a glorious time, then it's time to watch and pray. When we have a glorious time, a lot of times we pray, but we forget to watch. Amen. You just shouted in the church and praise and had a good time, and all of a sudden seemed like somebody knocked the doors down on you before you get home. Why? Because you're not watching. Amen. Verse 14 reads, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That means God has done what? Blessing. Amen. And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now this was after Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and tried to trick the disciples Peter said, you have not lied unto men, but you lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And after Ananias and Sapphira both fell down dead, the Bible said great fear came upon them. They were so afraid of the apostles, they wouldn't even come to them. So the only way they could get healed was they just laid in the street and let Peter's shadow. He said, we're too afraid to get close to that. Ananias and Sapphira just died, and they sold their land. But what they didn't know is they had a hidden agenda in the motive. And the issue where they were lying to the Holy Ghost. You got to be real with God. Because God will expose you when you're not real. Amen. And it says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed. God is moving. God is blessing. So when you're blessing, you don't have to worry about nothing, right? Because we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God is moving, right? So he healed every one of them. Now here comes trouble. Amen? Well, God is doing a great work. Here comes trouble. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with. Why do you get mad when God is doing all that? Right? Because the devil is the devil. And he wants to do anything to hinder God's work. People are being healed, they're being delivered of demons, they're being set free. And those religious people get mad. Amen. So they get mad and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord, how many know when God's on your side, he will fight your battles. So they thought they had locked them up. But Paul tells Timothy, the word of God and God's people cannot be bound. Amen. So they locked them up. I forgot where I'm at now. Okay, 19. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand where you were arrested. A lot of us, when we got out of prison, we've been going hightailing it the other way. Amen. But God was fighting his battle. He said, now you, I want you to go right back to where you were. And now what would we have done? Amen. It's quiet. I just got out of prison. You think I'm going back? Well, I just got arrested and put in prison? Nothing like obeying the voice of God, right? Amen. So he told them to go back, saying, did not, and they said, verse 28, go down to verse 28. So they, what happened? They went to the prison. The prison was shut. The guards were out. But the apostles were gone. And they said, oh my God, what happened? God is fighting your battle. That's why it's good to be on God's side and not resist his counsel. Verse 28 saying, they went to the apostles and they took them away peaceably because all the people just thought they were the greatest. You know, they were being healed, they were being delivered. So the religious leaders were afraid to do anything to cause an uproar, okay? Saying, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in this? They didn't mind teaching. The problem was in the name. What's the name? Jesus. That's why it's power in the name of Jesus. Somebody says there to break every chain. Amen. Said, then we command you not to teach in this name, but ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood upon us. But listen, and this is what, as people in church, in our individual lives, in our collective lives, this should be our testimony. This should be our testimony, amen. Somebody said, well, the only reason I did it is because whatever, whoever, they hold an authority. This should be your testimony. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, my question tonight, who are you obeying? Amen. Who are you obeying? Who are you listening to? God will fight your battles when you do it his way. He said you ought to obey God rather than. That's a whole lot. Who are we obeying tonight? Who has the greatest influence over us? Amen. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Amen. But Gamaliel stood up and corrected them and said, don't do this. And then let's go down to verse 36. Just for the sake of time, we need to read the next few verses. Verse 36. This is Gamaliel speaking. He said, for before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this was Judas of Galilee. Verse 38 says, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel all this work be of men, this is the deciding factor. If it's for men, you don't have to worry about it. It will come. But if it be of God, ye cannot lest happily ye be found. As we all stand, let's stop fighting God. Let God be God, and let God do things his way. Because there is certainly no unrighteousness in God. Amen. As the elders and the altar workers come forward, there is no unrighteousness in God tonight. It's our responsibility to obey God rather than man. Amen. Whenever you have a difficult, challenging decision to make, the basis of your decision should be on you, based upon you pleasing God and not man. Amen. As the elders come forward tonight, the most important thing in this world and in this life is to hear the Lord say that it's well with my soul. God can't tell you it's well with your soul if you're fighting, if you're resisting, if you're questioning God and asking him why, and making it seem as though God is unfair in his dealings. God cannot help you. God desires to withdraw man from his purpose and to hide pride far from man. Brothers and sisters, let us search and let us try our ways. And if there be fault, if there be iniquity, if there be sin, it's time for us to return unto the Lord. Hallelujah.